The following lecture, titled Living with Honor is the Best Chance for Community Establishment Empowerment, was recorded Tuesday, February the 17th, 1998 in Chicago, Illinois. The lecturer is Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you. Peace be unto you. As Muslims greet, Assalamu alaikum. We praise God, the one Lord, creator of us all, who cares about all of his creation, and particularly about his human creation, who have created all of us of one soul. We call Adam and his mate Eve in English, in the East, in the Christian world. And spread, as Allah says in the Quran, God says in the Quran, in our holy book, from them he has spread many men and women all over the world. So we come together tonight recognizing that we are one family, as Brother Kazmi emphasized, our brother emphasized, and we are one family, the human family. The human family. And God says he has made our identity, or our picture, and he has made it beautiful and most excellent. I remember my Arabic teacher giving me a grade once, and this time he put it in Arabic. He didn't put it in English. So I was just learning Arabic. I thought I understood what he put there, but I wasn't sure, so I took the paper to the professor and I said, will you tell me what that is? He said, that says you have done excellent. You have done excellent. He said, Ahsanta. That's what he wrote. If those who speak Arabic here know what they know, Ahsanta, he wrote on my paper. He said, Ahsanta. You have performed in an excellent way. That's what it means. And God has taught us in all of our great religions, especially Christianity, Judaism, and Islam, God has taught us through his servants, the prophets, peace be upon them, that he made us excellent. I remember reading writings on Christian theology, and I remember reading where Adam is seen by the learned people in Christian theology as being a bright creature. He was created a bright creature, full of light. It's a bright creature, beautiful and bright creature, full of light. That's how they picture him, depict him in this publication that I was reading. And God says in our holy scriptures that God has certainly made honorable all the descendants of Adam. And in Christianity and Judaism and Islam, we believe that all people are descendants of Adam. So God is saying, therefore, that he made every people honorable. He made the Africans honorable, he made the Europeans honorable, he made the Asians honorable, he made all people, he made the Americans, the Native Americans of this particular continent we're on right now, he made them honorable, he made all people honorable. And God says also to us, the most worthy of honor among you is the one who is most righteous, or the one who is most regardful, the one who is most regardful, most respectful, most regardful. And respect is first for God, if we understand. Respect is first for God. And then we respect all that God has ordered to be respected. And that means our parents. We respect our parents. and we respect each other in the family. The family that share the close quarters of an apartment, our home. And that's all a sign to us that God has created us all, our Hispanic brothers and us, our Indian brothers, our Pakistani brothers, our Arab brothers, all of us. I could even say now with no strain, our Polish brothers, all of us. In Chicago, that's kind of difficult for a black man, especially if he has some political understanding. Yes, all one family, and God has made all of us honorable. Honor is taken from us sometimes, and we are captured in an environment that mothers us, but mothers us cruelly. And we grow up bad people, without any sense of our native honor, our inherent dignity. But God always blessed us with some voice, someone who is strong in his humanity and strong in his spirit, or strong in her humanity and her spirit, as MacLeod Bethune was, and leave us a word of good advice. And no matter what you achieve of the material world, if you lose your virtues, you lose everything in the end. Progress with honor. God made us honorable. We have an inborn honor that God created us with. And that honor produced even during the days of enslavement on this continent, great statesmen like Frederick Douglass. That honor produced the servants of God that we, the people of faith, follow. His prophets, Abraham, Moses, Jesus Christ, and Muhammad, that honor produced them. The honor that God gave Muhammad the prophet, and I focus on him because he's the prophet of Islam, the last prophet to the world, and Muslims are here in many numbers tonight, and we thank you for coming from far distances and near. Muhammad was not yet aware that he was going to be the messenger of God, and that he was the last prophet. He was not aware of that. He had lived 40 years. That's a pretty long time, especially back then when life expectancy was not like it is, not as long as it is today. He had lived 40 years, and he did not know that he was going to be a prophet, the last prophet, the seal of the prophets. He did not know he was going to be a messenger of God to the world. He didn't know that. But his countrymen had already called him El Amin, the honorable, the trustworthy one. El Amin, the trustworthy one. And they called him also As-Sadiq, the truthful one. They called him the truthful one, the trustworthy one. And it was just not a respect that they paid in word, it was not seen in action. History tells us that in those days there were no banks. They had no system like we have. So they would seek a person that was traveling, would seek an honest, trustworthy person to protect their properties or their interests while they were gone. History tells us that Muhammad was that one before he was called to be a prophet or messenger of God. He was that one that they would come to and leave their belongings with him. Trustworthy person, honorable person, trustworthy person. God has created each and every one of us for honor and respect. And if we live to keep that, to keep a virtuous life, to have a virtuous life, we will be successful if our interest is in the community, wanting to see the community better. God says also to us, and it's, I know, believe me, I know your Bible pretty well. I could be a powerful Baptist preacher. You'd be surprised what I could say to these people in the name of the gospel. But I'm a Muslim, and that's where my power is. My power is in belief in God as a Muslim. Yes. Our faiths, if we recognize our faith and respect them, come to know your own religion better. That's what we need to do. Yes. Respect your own religion even more. A virtuous life will save us. God created us, thank you, God created us not to live as an island, not to live as a hermit to ourselves. The world has not progressed because men have separated. The world has progressed because men have come together. Excuse me one moment, let me take this. When you're thirsty and you got all your taste buds and everything in the normal condition, there's no drink like clean, clear water. Thank you. Progress with honor. When we look at the progress made for us from slavery to freedom, Emancipation Proclamation, and even till now, the progress that was made for us by leaders that we thought were honorable leaders. Frederick Douglass was an honorable man. Benjamin E. Mays, a Christian leader that I have great respect for, I got to know him before he passed. An honorable man. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, that's what we call him. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Marcus Garvey. So we have made a lot of progress because we have supported persons like Mary Magdalene of Bethune and others. Persons that we believe to be honorable. We believe that they held certain principles to be more valuable to them than even their flesh and blood, physical life, that they would lose their own physical life in the name of the principle that they held very high. Yes, honorable people. If we would study the growth of civilization, the growth of progress, we would have to study it in group, in the collective body, not in the single body. If you study the single body, you can't see progress, the how we have progressed as human beings on this earth. And we have some individuals that have been giants. And when it comes to wealth, someone, in fact, in the time of capitalism, you can find one man more wealthy than a whole nation. You can find some small nations, maybe some pretty sizable nations, not as wealthy as the one man. And one was the Rockefellers, right? And one in particular, I'm not going to call his name, but he bought up lands. Bought an island. Very wealthy individual. You can learn a lot from studying his coming into wealth and how he became so wealthy and powerful from a boy, a boy, to a school boy, and then from a young businessman, and a wealthy businessman. You can learn a lot studying him as an individual who made great progress, but you will not learn hardly anything of the movement of civilization, the progress for civilization, unless you study people in a group. You study the Islamic movement in history. You will learn a lot about Islamic civilization, and you will learn about Islam's contribution to Western civilization, to our civilization. You will learn a lot. You will see how civilization comes into existence and progresses. Similarly, if you would study the ancient nations, you will see that. You study the Romans, you will see that. But study any person, no, you can't see that. So that tells us that real progress for mankind comes only from group efforts. It's the group effort that really benefits us on this planet Earth. And we are all indebted to the group effort. That's what we're indebted to, the group effort. And as individuals, no matter how much we contribute, we have to do it inside the group. As part of the group, we make our contribution with the group. And our contribution goes into the group, and it belongs to the group, and it's remembered long after we're dead and gone as the group's possession, not as our individual possession. And God has created us with a soul, a human soul. A human soul. Some of us, the soul is so small. The soul is like a seed, you know. And a seed dies. When the fruit drops off the tree, the seed dies and sometimes dries up. Well, the farmer wants it like that. The farmer takes it and he puts it where it can dry out. He wants it dried out. It dries out, comes like dead pebbles or something, a little grains of salt or something, or pepper or something, just little dead stuff, dried out dead stuff, and you put it where it can get life, and it starts to swell. Moisture starts to swell, and as it swells, it begins to reveal itself. It wants to express what it has inside. It opens up and it starts. You can't see it first, it's in the ground. Already it's releasing something in the ground. It's expressing something that was locked up inside of it. It's not enough to express it in the ground, it wants it above the ground. It rises up, little bitty delicate thing, push up a big clod of earth, pops up through it, stretch out, keep stretching out, more and more freedom, more and more expression, until it has completed its picture. Right? There stands there, rooted in the earth, and has expressed itself, has found its freedom of expression in the light of the sun. How beautiful. And God says that He has created us, the human family, like a plant. That's what God says to us. And we know that all through the Bible, you can read of the metaphors of the pictures of human beings as plants, trees, grass, fruit, right? Wheat and tear, right? Yes. Wheat and tear, yes. So that the scriptures are about. And in the Quran, we have the same. The group picture. who really, when I say grass, who really thinks right away of one blade of grass? You don't think of one grade of grass, you think of grass. Yes, so it's the many. And there's a saying in Islam, the hand of God, or God's control is on the collective body. God's control is on the collective body. What does that mean for us? It means that Muslims are not to have a dictator. It means that Muslims are not to have a holy man that we listen to and we don't get any guidance except from him. And he makes all of the decisions for us. We make no decisions together. It means that Muslims are to have a democratic rule, a democratic order, a consensus, the opinion of the best of the people taken together. That's what we are to have, a consensus of the best minds and best characters, best people of character. We were progressing with honor as a people when we were following Frederick Douglass. And when we were following Du Bois, an honorable intellectual. And when we were following Booker T. Washington, a vocational man, but an honorable man who built Tuskegee University, Tuskegee colleges, honorable people. Progress came when we followed such persons. Now, when you look at those who then think they could have progress with the system or within the system, those who separated, the separatists, black nationalists, we were making progress when we followed Honorable Marcus Garvey. We were making progress when we followed Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Honorable Malcolm X. We were making progress. But when the 70s came, by the time of the early 70s, we had forgot what the freedom struggle really was. We had forgot what real leadership for African-American people is. And we start to follow show business people. Show business people. Whoever could talk the baddest, put on the best show for us, that's our leader. Now, I'm not directing this at any particular person. So you hate Farrakhan, I'll tell you right now, I'm not talking about Farrakhan. But we start following the show business, whoever can make the best show. And my good dear Christian Baptist preachers, ministers, I'm sorry, I have to say that's you too. Go to church and nothing but a big show. Big show! Whoever gets put on the best show gets the most followers and the most in the offering. We forgot that most important for us was faith in God. We were introduced to Christianity by our white brothers and sisters of America, who were responsible for us being in slavery. They were the ones who introduced us. All of them weren't responsible for us being in slavery now. But it so happened that minority was imposing their will upon the majority for a long, long time. I'm not directing my criticism at any person or persons, only at errors, wrongdoings, and errors in thinking. Yes, yes. So here we were making progress by telling this great American society at a time when we were ourselves slaves that we believe in God. That's what the slaves said. And we don't believe that God wants for us what you are imposing on us. That's what the slave said. So the slave, to make his protest, to put his argument before his slave master, he relied upon what his slave master claimed. And that is that God exists. And that God is a God of justice and mercy and kindness, etc. So he brought his master to look at himself and look at his claim. Frederick Douglass say, you claim to be civilizers. You claim to be believers in Christ Jesus. And your behavior is such that would shame a nation of savages. That's what Frederick Douglass said. He didn't have an army to go to war and free the slaves. No. He didn't have people on his side. They were like, no, I got the majority on my... No. But he had truth on his side. He had honor on his side. And he believed that if he came with honor and addressed those who were claiming honor and get them to see that the treatment of the blacks denied them the right to be called honorable, that they would one day look in the mirror and say, well, this is the man, Frederick Douglass, is right. And walk out of the house with a different mind and join the abolitionists to end slavery on this continent. That's what he had faith in, and it worked. It worked. Now, we want to have a piece of the pie. Well, that's your language. Only pie I know about is the one they taught me in math. And the one I eat on the table. And that's not the pie that I want. I want a piece of this pie that's the earth. That's the pie I want a piece of. The earth. This big, round, spherical body mass they call the earth. Because God put us all on this earth. And God says in the Holy Scripture that he made this earth as a table. A table. Now, a table, that we come to the table to fill our stomachs. Eat a good meal that makes us feel good for the night sleep, right? Before going to sleep. Eat a good meal so we rest in peace. And God says in Scripture, in the Holy Sacred Scripture, to us, not to the black, not to the whites, but to all of us. Seek what God promised us for the hereafter, the end destiny, the end destination, the end, the destiny. Seek what God has promised you for the destiny. But don't forget your share of the earth. God has given each and every one of us a share of the earth. Am I a Martian? No, I'm from Earth. I'm Earth. I was born here. This is my home. This is my home. This is my home. Where is my room? I need some room. See, we don't need to go to Karl Marx or to Lenin. Go to God. When my father put me out and it got to be a real problem believing in the idea of God that he gave me in the black Muslim temple of Islam, when that became a big problem for me, I said, oh, I'm lonesome. I was very lonesome. I started reading some of the communist literature. But then, well, it wasn't no laughing matter. They had some serious stuff too. then I said, well, I'm going to get some of the best books. So I got books. Karl Marx, Engels, Hegel's. I got the books. I read the books. I appreciated a lot of what they said. But at the same time, I was reading Holy Sacred Scripture. And I was reading it in the same way. See, I wasn't reading it to get a quick charge like some of you all do. Read Scripture to get a quick charge. I was reading it to plug into the power source. So I could keep going and never have to charge a battery. I wanted to put down batteries and go right directly to the power source. That's how I was reading Holy Scripture. And I start registering the compliments that my Creator was paying to me. And I say, boy, oh boy, all of these other flatterers who flatter my identity, who flatter my makeup, who flatter my contents, who flatter my nature, they are just borrowing from my Master who created me. I saw that they were only stealing and borrowing from my Master, the Lord of the heavens and earth, who created this world and me. It made me so strong as a believer in God. A believer in God, not only in heaven, but in earth. And that's what sacred scripture tells us, that God is the God of the heavens and the earth. Praise be to Allah. And that God says that He has made everything in the skies and everything below in the earth to accommodate His human creation. Isn't it just wonderful? Sakhara lakum, for you who speak Arabic. Sakhara lakum ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. He has made whatever's in the skies and whatever's in the earth to accommodate His human creation. And He says, and He has created us with honor. When He was making us, Dr. King, he says, don't judge a man by his color of his skin, but by the contents. Well, when God was making the contents, He put honor in the contents. He put intelligence in the contents. He put sound reasoning in the contents. He put virtues in the contents. The finest virtues He put in the contents. He put everything in the contents that was needed to influence the whole sky and the whole earth to pay tribute to this wonderful creature. But you won't know that if you stay in the farmer's bin with the dry seeds left away from the life that you need, the contact with the life that you need, you will never know that unless you get help from God or someone that God has helped. So that's what we need to do. We need to realize, what is the tradition of human excellence? Whether it's in a black man or a white man, whether it's on the continent of Africa or on the continent of Asia, what is the tradition of human excellence? Whether it's on the plantations, from the plantation to where we are now in Chicago, where is the history, the tradition of human excellence? Where is that road of progress for human excellence that brings factions to whole numbers? You know, they said to us, trying to make us believe it too, said, well, you blacks are not worthy to be equals with us in our white society, because you're only 3/5 of a human being. Put that in the Constitution, that you're only 3/5 of a human being. Well, if any of your descendants are still around here who believe that, I want to tell you that your whole America was only 3/5 of a human being until you recognized us as a whole being. Now you're becoming a whole being. See, this human creation that God made is one. And you can single out one group of people in this soul that's a cosmic whole. You can single out one people in that soul that's a cosmic whole, and you can throw a mess on them, but eventually that mess, if they hold on to their purity, that mess is going to leave them and come right on you because you deserve it. And that's what has happened. That's what has happened. And I believe those who like to pick on others have learned their lesson. The world is beginning to be too small, and we got too many abolitionists now. Abolitionists are everywhere. What I want to say to you is that everything is growing from fraction to wholeness. The world itself is growing from a fractured world to a whole world. And what broke up the wholeness? God designed wholeness for our life. Wholeness for our life. What caused it to fracture? Satan, the devil. You who believe like we believe in religion, you Christians and others. Satan fractured it. God in our theology, if you could call it that, showed the angel Gabriel, his creation. I guess like on a screen, you know, if the technology could, if we can use that technology to help us out a little bit. Like on a gray screen, God showed the Gabriel in our religious language and Gabriel in yours, his creation that he was going to make. He showed Gabriel the world and the man in it. He said, before he put the man in, I'm sorry. He showed him just the world, that he was going to put his special creation in, man. And when Gabriel saw it, he said, "My Lord." See, many Muslims don't know Gabriel has a Lord too. Same Lord we have, Allah. Gabriel said, "My Lord, how can any soul go wrong in a world like this?" And then Allah said, "Now look at it, Gabriel. I'm going to show it to you after Satan has got it in there and influenced it." And when Gabriel saw the world bearing Satan's influences, he said, "My Lord, how will any soul go straight in a world like that?" Now, we are trying to raise children, and the environment is just too much for us. The strict parent who wanted to raise the child so that the child would be loved by God and cared for by God could handle that responsibility in the small towns, in the South, in the North too, when this world hadn't got as confusing as it is now. See, it's so confusing now, people forget what gender they belong to. And I'm not talking about homosexuals. I'm talking about normal, so-called normal people. Forget what gender they belong to. And they don't realize what they've done until they wake up the next morning. And then they're ashamed. Confused world, very confused world. Where a 35-year-old woman falls in love with a 12-year-old boy and ready to go to jail for it. Very confused world. So we are living in a time like that. And Allah, God told us a time was coming like this. Yes, it's in the Bible. It's also in our holy book. God told us a time was coming like this. And God says, the man. So he will avoid the mistake. But God knows, no, he can't avoid it. He has to make that mistake. But he'll repent later. My will is too much for him. He'll have to repent later. God says, man. Who he's talking to? Who God is talking to here? In sacred scripture, God is here is talking to a man who assumed authority on this earth over other men. over other nations, over the resources that God provides, he assumes authority. God says to him, O man, think not that the human creation is a bigger creation than the heavens and the earth. That one day the bigger environment is going to defeat you if you don't follow my way for your life on this earth. And that's exactly what has happened. The church is at a loss to save our teenagers. Yes. The synagogues at a loss to save their teenagers. And the mosques at a loss. The masjid, the mosque, the Muslim house of worship is at a loss to save our teenagers. We have to recover from the spell that Satan has cast over the world. And the only way to recover is to come back to the light, to the light of God. Come back to the common decencies that society once embraced. The common decencies. Wake up the common decent person in you. And don't be ashamed to face the pressure. The peer pressure. Allah says, let there rise out of you. God knows that the world is going to be become such a hard burden on the people. Because Satan is going to be leading it. That the many will be lost. And there will only be a remnant, as the Bible say. There will only be a few left to lead the way. God knew that. That time is going to become so confusing that we can't expect many people to respond to the call. Most of them will hear it, and even if they understand it, they can't accept it because they don't have enough going for themselves internally to meet this strong channel that is this strong challenge that is external. So we have to depend on just a few. So God says, we have to work on this. When God asks us to do something, we have to work on it. God says, let there form out of you, out of the Muslim community, out of the big Muslim community, let there form out of you a special group. A special group working for God, working for justice and fair dealings among people, believing in God and not deviating, and not fearing the criticism of any criticizer. Yes. Living by the most excellent known standards of civilization. Yes. And ordering and commanding by the highest and best known standards of civilization in its excellence. Yes.
This is Arabic. They've got some Arabic here. I can speak a little Spanish, but I don't like them. It'll be very embarrassing if I make a mistake. But I can speak a little Spanish. I understood Buenas noches. I understood that. Yes. Progress with Allah. Progress with Allah. We have to realize that we are not complete until the soul says, I'm at peace. And if you ask any African American, whether he's poor, educated, or uneducated, poor or rich, ask him, is his soul at peace? Ask Bill Cosby if his soul is at peace. Ask my friend John from the neighborhood of 61st and at First in Michigan. I go back there to where I came from and I see the people, same condition they were in when I was a boy. Yes, neighborhood, same condition almost. No change. Ask him, is his soul at peace? No, his soul is not at peace. I'm not talking about personal peace with God now. I know some of you good, faithful people like I am. But I have peace with my God. And my soul is at peace when I'm resting. But if I get up and go out in the day to meet the people and to do the work or whatever, get about my business in the world, that soul is not at peace. No, indeed. In fact, I just wake up and you say, hey, do you think the condition of African American people is good? You broke my peace. My peace is gone just that fast. Our condition will be good when we progress with honor. If we insist upon honor in those that we accept as our leader, if we can insist that they be men and women of good character, we can get rid of drugs as a problem in our neighborhoods. We can end poverty in our neighborhoods. We have opportunities today. We didn't have opportunities when Frederick Douglass was leading. We didn't even have enough opportunities when Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was leading. But today we got opportunity, much opportunity. In fact, I hear that the law that has been passed and the rules that they go by and live by now are requiring that they include more of us in business opportunities, to bid on contracts, government contracts, to do different things. And there are not enough of us to even fill the quest for persons of our color and our race to come in there and take advantage of those opportunities. There are not enough of us. Some of us just don't have what it takes. We don't have the energy, the spirit, the drive. But it's mostly because we don't have the money. We don't have enough money. That doesn't have to be. We're going to change that. In my conclusion, I want to say to this audience here, this beautiful audience, as the speaker said, one of the speakers said before me, this very, very beautiful audience, and it's very, very beautiful because it shows the family of mankind. I want to say to you that when I came into leadership of those in my association called Muslims, almost 100% African American. I didn't believe that we were prepared spiritually, morally, mentally to engage the world as competitors for a piece of this earth that God says is ours and we shouldn't forget it. Now, if God said that, God says it's ours and we shouldn't forget it. Latansa, nasibaka mina dunya. Don't forget your share of this material world. That's what God says in sacred scripture. I was believing that we just weren't prepared. So I said, this is God's doing. To put us on the right course for the first time. Because we were on the wrong course. We had a religious spirit. We had fear of God. Just as church people do. Under the honor of Elijah Muhammad. We had a religious spirit. We had fear of God. No matter how we pictured God or perceived God, we had fear of God. I know I did, following Elijah Muhammad, my father. I know I had that. I had a religious spirit. I had a fear of God in me. So I have said I believe it was God's doing to have us come off a spiritual basis and go just rushing in the world for the material things and for pride, black power, black power, personal pride, group pride, and money. It was God's doing to let us be taken off on that tangent, away from our spiritual foundation, away from believing in God as we should, away from us believing in decency as we should, away from us fearing consequences as we should. We left that so that we would fail and lose what God wants in us most of all, and that is decency, honor, our true humanity, so that we would turn back to Him for that, because nobody can give you that but God. I know, because we have pleaded with one or two of our children, especially one of them, pleaded with them to please come back from your bad life and your bad habits, please come back. Couldn't budge him. We want him to believe in God. So we would try to reach him, make him wake up as a believer in God. Couldn't reach him. In fact, he'd look at us and say, I don't think you even represent religion the way you're supposed to be represented, you know? Didn't want to hear a thing we had to say. And God says to us in our holy sacred scriptures that you can't make anyone believe. It is God who brings them to believe. So we couldn't turn each other around, but God had to put us in a situation where we'd call out to Him again. So I had plenty of people saying, well, our leader is gone, and we were told that once dead, never come back. See, that's what Elijah Muhammad told his followers. I don't know why they get up with this thing, he's came back. I don't know what they're talking about. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told his followers, I think there's something in the Bible. You know, there used to be a group among the Jews called the Sadducees. I don't know if they still live or not, but they look like I see one occasionally. Yeah, the Sadducees. And they didn't believe in no life after death. They believed in only material reality. That's how it's coming so easy for Karl Marx to come up with that material-based idea, you know, because there were already some Sadducees. Karl Marx was another Sadducee. He survived. The Sadducees didn't believe in a hereafter. They didn't believe nothing. You die, that's it. You finished. That's good. You gone. Material is the reality, and that's it. But they still believed in God. And the final Elijah Muhammad followers were taught to believe that way. He said it's stupid, it's ridiculous to believe that after somebody die and put in the earth and become dirt, that they're going to live again. So they don't ever expect that to happen. Say, that's stupid. He said that's for children, for stupid children, you know. He paid it down. He ridiculed it. Some terrible. And then I read the Quran, and the Quran says, they say, will we be brought back to life after we have become dust? And God says, even if you have become something harder in your imagination to resurrect than dust, you shall be brought back. All your whole self shall be brought back, even your fingerprints. That's what God says to us in the Quran. Even your fingerprints shall be brought back. So I said to myself, thank Allah that He revealed this book. Thank Him for Muhammad, the moral in human excellence, par excellence,
worthy to receive this book for all of us. Thank Allah for him. Thank God for this revelation that saved the son of Elijah Muhammad. When the nation of Islam failed his soul, failed his intellect, failed his moral nature, God picked the son of Elijah Muhammad up with the light of the Quran, the light of the revealed book, and the excellent human model, Muhammad, the son of Abdullah. Prayers and peace be upon him. I was saved. That's what I want to share with all of you in this audience. Now that I am saved, I'm free, I'm saved, and I feel that my people now are healthy spiritually, I go all over this country. I was in Fayetteville just a couple of days ago. I was in Durham, North Carolina the day before that. I go all over this country, and I'm seeing those who are in our following, those who are in our association. But I can tell you here that the United States Muslim members belonging to this association who identify with the leadership you identify with are in good shape. We are back on human basis. We are back on faith in God. We are back on respect, regardfulness for God and sacred matters. Yes, we are back on that foundation again. We are back in our humanity again. And now we are ready to make progress with honor and get our share of this earth. Thank you very much. Peace.
Praise be to Allah. Can we have your attention for a minute? Brothers and sisters, can we have your attention for a few minutes? We're going to continue to the conclusion of this program for today. Can we have your attention, please? We need your attention. We're about to conclude the program for today, and we're going to go as scheduled, but we're going to cut some of the time a little short. However, the imam is going to honor us with some questions from the audience. Those who have questions, the imam is going to entertain questions for about 10 or 15 minutes. The brother right here at the mic, Brother Rabbani right here at the mic, those who have any questions, could you come to the mic so he'll be able to hear the questions? Over here is where the mic is at. Those who have any questions, can you come to the mic over here? Is the mic connected, brother? Can we have your attention for a minute, please? Is it connected?
One, two, yes, connect. Can I proceed?
Yes.
Okay, my name is Tahute. I'm not a Muslim or anything like that, but I got three short questions for Aman. I write for an underground newspaper called Frontline, and we do investigative work on certain activities that's detrimental to the black community. And I'd like for you to address these 3 points here. We have situations where it seems like we have like hidden concentration camps in the black community that nobody seems to know about. That's one. And two is, it's like a situation now with black women just being killed that nobody's talking about. None of the leaders have a situation out south where these black women are being killed, and the media and the police department has suppressed this information for years. In Washington, D.C., at least 300 black women have been killed. The murders going unsolved, and the killings have been occurring around the full moon. And the third point I'd like you to address is, everybody's talking about the economic collapse. I'm talking about everybody. I got like a short band radio. I listen to everybody talk. The white people talk, the Jews talk, and everybody's talking about the collapse of the economic situation around the world. Those are the 3 points I'd like you to address.
Yes, for the first point, and let me first say that we expect that there would be some persons, young men and women, who would respond to these situations and make some contribution to relieving us of these bad conditions in our community or in our community life. So congratulations to you. We thank you very much. First, I would like to say that. Persons who are hurting us, individuals who are hurting us, leaders or persons who have the public attention or get the public attention, who are hurting us. I agree too that we have set that as a problem, and we do have people who are living in a concentration camp. We do have that. But let me share something with you. When Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was giving the message of God to his countrymen, who were mostly Arabs, who were Arabs, but there were a few non-Arabs among them. Bilal, may God be pleased with him, who later became a very popular figure in the history of Islam, was a black person. He was from the land of Ethiopia called the land of the Habashi. And he had such a master over him. But when he heard the message of truth from Muhammad the Prophet, he accepted it, and he resisted his master, though his master still had him as his property. He was the property of his master. So his master tortured him for that, tortured him severely for resisting him, for wanting to be a Muslim. And he tortured him so severely till Bilal was too weak to even speak anymore. And he just held out one finger to say to his master, I still believe in the one God. We live in a time now when the voice of freedom and humanity is ringing loud and clear all over America and all over this world. If there are people who choose to have such leaders over them and they won't have the courage of Bilal, I say leave them there for a little longer. They'll change their minds. And when they change their mind, we'll help rescue them, as Abu Bakr came and got Bilal from his slave master. We'll come rescue them. But as long as they like it, we're going to leave them right there. Now, black women being killed. We have heard black women being killed. That responsibility is on the system. It's on the law department. And if they are not doing something about it, you and us and all of us should get together and make sure that they do their job to find those killers. Things should be done in the right way. And when we don't get respect or help from the system, then we have language in the Constitution that permits us to challenge even the Constitution and rewrite it if we have to. See, the Founding Fathers envisioned a society, a group of people, a nation, that could survive even the Constitution of these United States if they stick to the excellence that those founding fathers envisioned, and the Constitution failed them somewhere along the road, we have language in the Constitution that give us legal justification to rewrite it. Now, there's a judge there. You see, he said, that's right. He knows. Okay. So I agree with you. I agree with your interests. I'm with you in your interests. But I don't think I agree with you in your methods, brother. Okay, yes.
Assalamu alaikum. My name is Arbi Gaiz Abdullah. I'm 17 years old. I was born a Muslim, and my mother's Khalila Abdullah. A couple of years ago, I just moved from the city to Park Forest. I don't have any questions, but just to ask you this one favor, to please pray with my mother, my family, because she's a single woman who's taking care of four kids, and she's trying to keep this house because we're trying to stay out there, you know, away from all the violence, trying to give me a good education so I may graduate, so I may go to college and provide for my family as well. And along the road, we're having a little trouble.
So what situation the house is in?
Well, she's trying to keep the house, and the payments are building up and building up. And like I said, she's only one woman, and she's trying very hard to provide for the family. But, you know, it's just more...
It's just the mother and the children?
Just the mother, yes.
Yes. Well, give your name and address let's see, can we have one here? Brother Rafa, go get your name and address of your brother there. And we're going to get some help for you right away.
I can't speak. The doctor bad, and then I can't speak. But brother, the Kareem. I can't speak, but brother, could you, I can't speak, but could you, what his name, because I can't speak, you know. Then 8 years, you know, but, yeah, right. I can't speak 8 years, and then because you know, but he they say hear.
Mm-hmm. Now I can hear. I can hear.
Yes. Oh.
I can hear.
Yes.
The ears are open for you right now.
Yes.
I can hear.
Uh-huh. This Bama Kama, you, I can't speak, but right here. Right. Yes.
Darnell Kareem.
Yes.
He's getting some help. He's getting some help.
Because, I mean, you know.
Imam Kareem, who's that?
Here.
Imam Donnell Kareem?
Yes, I'm writing it down, you know, for me.
Mm-hmm.
For me.
All right. So I'll ask Imam Donnell Kareem to give me your message, give me your words.
Yes.
All right.
And then, it's stroke, you know.
I understand.
You, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to say more, don't you?
Well, it's closed.
I know,
closed.
But you would like to say more, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to say more?
Yeah.
Yes or no?
Yes. Yes, but...
Well, keep desiring. You will speak.
Oh, okay. All right.
Inshallah, he will overcome that. He has what it takes.
We have those in other areas who ask the questions too. I don't know how, whether it's working, it must not be working. Yes.
Okay.
How many minutes? We have to have, we got about 5 more minutes, I think, or less.
All right, my name is Marcel Ben Yesseril, and I'd like to greet you in the name of Yahuwah, the Most High God. And I'd like to say that what the brother had touched on earlier, there is an economic collapse coming and within the next year or so. Now, according to the stock market chart and all the documentary that we have and we are researching, we got government documents to prove everything we're saying, but there are concentration camps in this country. There are black uniformed officers running around, kicking people's doors down, doing search and seizures without warrants, and that's going on throughout this country. Okay. And that, for people that don't believe that the biological is going to be a biological chemical warfare in this country within the next year or so.
Yes, we can make our question, our comments very short and brief, right to the point.
Okay, I some legal brother, ma'am.
Yes.
My question.
Let me respond to his comment quickly. I'm very quickly. If you plan your own life and future, and you're aware of what's happening, you shouldn't despair. You shouldn't feel that the world is going to be gloomy and things are going to be bad. You should be able to chart your way through the storms and through the gloom and through all that. And while others are suffering, you should be faring well. God says the believers shall succeed. They shall be successful. And I wish you would get acquainted with our collective purchasing program. It doesn't see any gloom at all. It sees nothing but bright sunlight. The sun is rising, and we are rising with it.
Assalamualaikum. Assalamualaikum, brother man.
Alaikum assalam.
My name is Derek Abdullah. My wife and I, we've been Muslims now for over 21 years, and we're grateful to Allah to be Muslims. My question concerns some literature. We don't believe that your teachings has a time of fashion. I've been out to the universities in different places handing out literature that you print, and I go to different masjids, mm-hmm. and people tell me not to pass out the literature. I understand it because I don't want to be controversial. I want to be helpful. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to submit this. If I could get somebody to look at these are your words, as far as I know, if it's anything different in the literature that my wife and I have been putting out through the years, we would like to have it corrected like any other believing Muslim
All right.
would.
So and, just get copies of it to me.
Okay.
Yes.
Have a present copy. If I can give it to Rabbani, he could.
Right, that's right.
If you get an opportunity,
yes.
Give it to him and let us know if the literature that we're passing out is proper. We believe it's proper. Because it's from your teachings, and we hold fast by Allah to that.
Yes, but you must understand that we in the leadership, we have not only words, but we have a strategy, and we have plans and strategies. And sometimes the strategy that have already succeeded and done its job is not needed anymore. So you might have old strategies that have already done their work, and they might cause a problem for the new time and the new circumstances.
And that's what we want to prevent.
All right.
Such as
okay.
Case. Thank you.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
My dear Imam, I had to write this down because every time I see you, I have so much to say, I can't say anything. My dear Imam, the Guidance Foundation of America, I think you've seen this when it first came to me a long, long time ago. And it's for the elevation of the female. But as you speak, you're speaking about everyone, and that's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about all of the women. And I have to really sit down and talk to you about this. It's so big. It's so much to it that I just can't say it in a few words. Because it's very, very important. It's very, very important.
Yes. Well, I would like to.
I've been trying.
I would like to give have an opportunity to see what you have there and
please,
listen.
Please.
And
very important.
For you to share it with me and.
Yes, sir.
And whatever I could do to assist you, I'd be happy to do it.
I've been trying to get to
if
you.
Brother Rafa, my secretary, can come and get it for you. Yes,
all
sir.
Right. Thank you.
You need to give him a contact number.
I sure will.
All right, and your name. He's coming now.
Yes, sir.
The next please. Is one, I think we can only have one more. Time is out.
Assalamu alaikum.
Yes, wa alaikum assalam.
This is used to be Brother Robert 12X.
Yes, I do remember you. How are you?
Fine. We just want to give you the greeting.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you. And we are enthused at the work that you've done. We need some help in Gary, though.
Mm-hmm.
So,
all right. Thank you for bringing that to my attention. We are planning a meeting soon in Gary.
Yes, sir.
This year.
Appreciate that.
All right.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Brother Robert. Good to see you again. Please. Yes. I have a question here. This will be the last question. Time is out. Time is overspent. The question is, does the Imam have any comments on the situation regarding Iraq and potential bombing of Iraq? Yes, I do. We are sending a statement to the President of the United States, our dear President, Mr. Bill Clinton. And the statement says that we do not feel or believe that bombing Iraq are the targets that they have identified will help American interests in the long run and will certainly not defeat Saddam, but will only boost him up and make him even a bigger hero in the Islamic world among radicals and also among sober-minded Muslims. So we're against it. We don't think it'll help at all. We think it's only going to hurt in the long run. And if we would conduct war as God orders us to conduct war, then we would take care not to kill innocent people. We would not risk killing children and old women and young women and families that are perhaps as much against the situation there as we are, but they can't do anything about it. There's a different reality too this time. It's not like it was when the Gulf War took place. The Western nations are not even all together on this. Several of them are opposed to it. Some of them won't commit themselves. Few of them are with the decision to hit those targets. The dwellings of Saddam himself, they call it palatial structures or palace homes. And to try to find where these weapons are and strike there. It's too big a risk to innocent people, to innocent lives. In addition to that, we believe that the sanctions should be lifted. The embargo should be lifted. Great powers should also take risk in the name of justice, in the name of compassion on human beings, in the name of justice and mercy. They should also take this big risk. I would only approve of striking or bombing Iraq if Iraq starts to attack or bomb or use those terrible weapons on somebody. Only at that time. We are not the big Robocop of there to go in and force our way on people, you know. That's not the way to do it. If we don't fall into the trap And it's a trap that Saddam is setting. If we don't fall into the trap and say, well, we've rethought this situation out, and we have come to the conclusion that we should seek to settle this problem we have here, to solve the problem we have here for the inspection or whatever, diplomatically, with diplomacy, with discussions, with help from your neighbors in the discussions, etc., with everything possible short of actually killing on that land again, killing people on the Iraqi soil again. If that would happen, and they stick to that decision, our country and the allies will stick to that decision, in time, Saddam will become so unpopular, especially if the sanctions, if the embargo is lifted, he will become so unpopular that if he keep his mind, he'll kill himself. Yes. I really feel the burden on our president. I feel the burden on our president. You know, when they invent new weapons, and they're told that these weapons can do this and that and that, there's a strong temptation to use them just to see what they can do. So I wish all the Muslims would write the President of these United States, State Department and the President, and tell him that we are strongly against bombing Iraq. And we hope that you lift the embargo. We believe that you can defeat Saddam with superhuman excellence. Thank you very much. I have to leave so that you may leave. Peace. As-salamu alaykum.
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call or write Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409, or call 1-708-862-5228. For WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733, or write Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening. For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, call or write the ministry, call or write Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409, or call 1-708-862-5228. WDM Publications, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1944, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409.